Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of John. I trust that you have access to a Bible this morning, the Gospel of John, chapter 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, and told them what things Jesus had done. Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we are so thankful for this opportunity to spend these few moments remembering your death on our behalf that we might have life eternal. I pray, O Spirit of God, that you'd minister to our hearts this morning from your holy word. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, is known for the event in the ministry of our Lord, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And we've just read here in verses 43 and following that Lazarus, that had been dead for some 4 days, the Bible teaches us, rose again. And with this miraculous event, the Bible teaches us in verse number 45 that many of the Jews that came to Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, and the Bible teaches us that when they seen the things which Jesus did, they believed on him. But verse 46 reads, there were those that went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. The resurrection of Lazarus from the dead proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is all-powerful and he is the long-awaited Messiah. And the Bible teaches us within these verses that some believed. Some believed in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They witnessed his divinity, the power to raise the dead, his power over death. And as a result, they placed their faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But yet the Bible teaches us in verse number 46, some went their way. In other words, some believed and some did not believe. Instead, they went back and reported to the religious leaders of that day what had happened. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 47, as a result of that, a council was formed. So from this report, a council which in that day was known as the Sanhedrin Council, which was a Jewish council made up of no less than 70 individuals. And this was a very powerful assembly over the Jewish people. And it was within this council civil issues were judged, religious issues were judged, and whatever decision this council made was binding for the Jewish community no matter where they lived. So it was a very powerful council meeting that had authority over wherever Jewish people lived. They were bound under Jewish law by the decisions made within this council. So the Bible teaches us that some believed. They believed in Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Others went their way and they went back to the religious leaders of that day. And in their desperation, they called a meeting. They called a council meeting. Now, the current high priest of this council was a man by the name of Caiaphas. And as I've already mentioned, this council had power to judge civil and religious issues that arose amongst God's people. Now, it's also important for us to bear in mind that within the time of our Lord Jesus and his earthly ministry, the Roman Empire was in control of this whole region. And they were a well-oiled machine. They were very ordered, very organized, and they took control. It was very, very obvious that the Romans were in charge of the land of Palestine. In fact, they had such control over the land that they took upon themselves to appoint the high priest of the Jewish people. That way they can control everything that took place. And the Roman Empire not only appointed this high priest by the name of Caiaphas to his position over this Sanhedrin, which had the ability, as I said, to judge the Jewish people in civil issues and religious issues, but also a restriction was placed upon this Sanhedrin that they could imprison, they can pass verdict upon a person that they decided was guilty. But there was one thing they couldn't do, that was to perform or to authorize execution. They couldn't do that. They had to go back to the Romans and seek their authority and their permission to execute an individual. So the Bible teaches us that upon the resurrection of Lazarus, many believed, but others did not. And those that did not obviously caused a little bit of a ruckus, so a council meeting was called for. And I'd like for us to note some principles from this council meeting that was led by Caiaphas himself. Note there in verse number 47 it reads, "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles." So in dealing with this issue of this Jesus Christ that had performed many miracles, this council was formed. And they asked the question, what do we? In other words, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about this situation? What are we going to do about this issue that has arisen? They were perplexed, and therefore they called this council, wanting a solution to this issue. I wonder this morning, as you've come to this Good Friday service, I wonder whether you are, in mind, a little bit perplexed, puzzled about life, about a situation within your life. And just like God had a purpose in performing the miraculous, it was to affirm his divinity and to lead people unto himself, so likewise God has a purpose in what he allows in your life and in my life. This council got together, made up of priests and rulers and scribes, all of the big cheeses within the Jewish community. And they asked the question, so what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this situation? This Jesus Christ is causing a stir. He's performing many miracles. What are we going to do about this situation? And I sense within that statement there in verse number 47, this man doeth many miracles, that caused a little bit of a panic wave through this council who wanted to maintain control over the Jewish community. So they said amongst themselves, so what are we going to do about this situation? What are we going to do about this man that has performed, note the wording there in verse 47, many miracles. Many miracles. Not just this miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, but we've heard that he has performed many miracles. What are we going to do with him? So we see perplexity, we see panic amongst this council. And maybe within your heart of hearts this morning there's a measure of perplexity. Maybe you have a measure of panic within your heart of hearts. I want to encourage you on this Good Friday that God is in control. And God has a reason for what He allows in your life and in my life. And God can be glorified and God can fulfill His perfect will for you and I through those times of perplexity, those times that we panic a little. Well, the Bible goes on to read in verse number 48, so they ask the question, this council, what are we going to do with this man that's performed all of these miracles? And note then verse number 48, they said amongst themselves, if we let him thus alone, if we don't do something about this, they said, then all men will believe on him. They're all going to turn from Judaism to becoming followers of Jesus Christ. If we don't do something about this, everybody's going to turn from our religion to Jesus Christ. But also note then verse 48, they also said, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. So we see within this statement here, in recorded for us in verse number 48, that within this group they were concerned about the impact of Jesus Christ. And they were concerned about what impact this will have upon the Romans, those that govern them. Now, I'd like for us to note that these individuals within this council were very biased against Jesus Christ. Let me tell you why. Because the majority of them were a part of a religious sect known as the Sadducees. There was the Pharisees, there was the Sadducees. The Sadducees were an order, they were Jewish, they were an order within the Jewish community that did not believe in a bodily resurrection. They didn't believe in the spiritual world, they didn't believe in angels, they didn't believe in a bodily resurrection. But what's taken place here is that Jesus Christ has raised somebody from the dead. So this cuts right against their beliefs. So they have a prejudice against Jesus Christ. That's why they want to deal with him. So they pronounce political correctness here in verse number 48. And listen, if we don't deal with this person, everybody will turn from Judaism to become followers of Jesus Christ. And in that happening, the Romans will panic. They'll feel like they're losing control. They're going to destroy our council. And they're going to lead us into a greater measure of oppression and bondage. We don't deal with this individual. This group of religious people were concerned about their influence. The Romans shall come and take away both our place. They were concerned about their influence. They're also afraid. They're afraid of losing their position of influence. The little bit of liberty that they did have, they were afraid. And they wanted to hold on to power as a council. Let me ask you this morning, what's keeping you from becoming a Bible Christian? What's keeping you from receiving Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, as your personal Savior? What's holding you back? Is it your influence? Are you afraid of losing power, certain freedoms? Well, that's how this council shaped this situation. They said, listen, if we let this man go and if we don't deal with him, this Sanhedrin will be no more, and the Romans will come in and lead us into greater bondage. As we move on to verse number 49, it reads, then one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest, that same year said unto them, note this statement, very profound, ye know nothing at all. Ye know nothing at all. So you can just envision this council. They would, when they were in council meeting, they would sit in a semi-circle manner so they could all see one another. And they're saying to one another, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? If we let this guy go, he's going to convert everybody to his faith. And the Romans will pat it and they'll come in with a heavy hand and destroy us all. What are we going to do? So Caiaphas, the high priest. Joseph Caiaphas is his full name. Joseph Caiaphas stands up and addresses the whole lot of them and said, you guys have got no idea. You know nothing at all. Now, he was the high priest of that day and he had a lot of influence. And this man, Caiaphas, had great influence and position. And he was no doubt convinced that he had ultimate knowledge. Because as he addressed the 70, he said, ye know nothing at all. So we see within Caiaphas, the high priest, pride, do we not? Ye know nothing at all. His own pride blinded his unbelief. Now Caiaphas himself was a Sadducee. He didn't believe in the bodily resurrection, that it was possible. So he also had his own agenda. Let me ask you this morning, is your pride holding you back from accepting the claims of Jesus Christ? He that died was buried and rose again from the dead. Is it your pride that holds you in unbelief? The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. Will you allow pride to keep you from receiving God's salvation? Will you allow pride to deny the facts and choose to believe a lie? That was Caiaphas. Very proud. And maybe it's your pride that's holding you back from receiving God's gift of eternal life. See, the Christian message can be summed up in one word, done. D-O-N-E. Jesus Christ paid it all. He shed His blood for your sin and for my sin, paid fully for man's sin, paid fully for man's ability to be redeemed. He was buried and He rose again from the dead, bodily, visibly, and personally. The work has been done. But religion today teaches you must do. I must perform. I must do my part to earn my access into heaven. The Bible teaches us not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no deed good enough that will earn you and I the right into the family of God. done. That's the Christian message. And maybe it's your pride that is driving you to perform or to do, to gain God's approval. But my friend, this morning the Bible teaches us that all our works of righteousness are as filthy rags. Caiaphas was a man full of pride that blinded his eyes from truth. So in rebuking this council, he said, "Ye know nothing at all." Note verse number 50, please. It reads, "Now consider that it is expedient for us." In other words, let's do what is best for us, men. Think for a moment. You blokes have got no idea. "I know," he said. "Let's do what is best for us." Moi. Me, self, I. Let's do what's best for us. Not what's best for the Jewish community or the world, what's best for us. So we see within Caiaphas pride. We see within Caiaphas selfishness. Selfishness. So he said to the men, "Let's do what is best for us." Are you being selfish? Are you doing what's best for you? There are many people that will die and go to a Christless eternity because they won't look beyond themselves. They're selfish. And maybe that's you this morning. You're proud. And you're selfish. And that's holding you back from accepting truth. You're only concerned about yourself in this present world. May I encourage you, my friend, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You have an eternal spirit that will live somewhere forever, and my Bible teaches me heaven or hell. There's no in between. And if you die without Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, then you will go to a place called hell, which the Bible describes as a place of fire, and it burns forever and forever. But for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, place their faith in Him alone for salvation. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish in hell. But God promises eternal life. And maybe it's your selfishness, my friend, this morning. Though you are in church on Good Friday, it's your selfishness, wanting it your way, that's holding you back from receiving the truth. That was Caiaphas. Proud, selfish. Look at verse number 50 once again. "Now consider what is expedient for us." Man, let's do what's best for us. "That one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." So Caiaphas, the high priest, used his influence and his position to authorize the killing of Jesus Christ. He said, "We're better off having this man killed, condemned and killed, as opposed to if we don't kill him, get rid of him, then many more will die at the hand of the Romans." That was his suggestion. So Caiaphas, in his pride and selfishness, led to a determined effort, and he influenced this Sanhedrin, this very powerful council, the most powerful council of that day within the Jewish community. He authorized and he commended to them, what is best for us is that we have this person killed. Otherwise, the whole nation will perish at the hand of the Romans. Now look at verse number 51, please. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied. Very interesting. He prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. So in Caiaphas suggesting that we have this man killed, the Bible teaches us that Caiaphas predicts the death of Jesus Christ. And in his prediction of the death of Jesus Christ, he commends to the council, this man must be killed. So in other words, so while Caiaphas proposed the death of Christ as a solution to the immediate political problem, this Jesus is causing a stir, God purposed the death of his son as a solution to the problem of sin in the world. So the high priest spoke what was in his evil heart, but by mysterious intervention of divine inspiration, he pronounced the national and global benefit of Christ's death on the cross. Amazing. So God used the evil intent of this man who said, let's kill him. And God used that, overrided that, and through his prophecy, Caiaphas pronounced that the death of Christ will have global benefit. Note then verse 52. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. So the high priest spoke that which was evil within his heart, commanding to the council, let's kill him. But yet this man prophesied concerning the death of Christ, but beyond prophesying that Jesus will die, Caiaphas also predicted that this Jesus will gather a people unto himself. Amazing. The death of Jesus Christ would provide salvation for the whole world. And even though this man meant evil in commending to the council, let's sentence this man to death, God meant good by it in providing forgiveness for the whole world. See, God is able to use anybody. No matter the evil intents of a heart, God is able. And through the evil intent, through the pride and selfishness that reigned within Caiaphas' heart, who gave a prophecy, God was able to speak through a dumbass, so to speak, and to proclaim this death of Jesus Christ will be the means of people from all over the world becoming the sons of God. Wow. And on this Good Friday, even though that Jewish council of that day had evil intent, God was still in control. They meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And the Bible teaches us in 1 John 2 verse 2 that in reference to Jesus Christ, that He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Yes, my friend, Jesus Christ was sinless. He was unjustly judged and punished. Yet God had a plan. The plan was to provide eternal life for all mankind. And that's what Good Friday is all about. Sin has been paid for with the precious, sinless blood of Jesus Christ. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why it's a Good Friday. I know it's a Good Friday because it's a beautiful day. And thank God for that. Whether it's a beautiful day or a cloudy day or a rainy day, it's still Good Friday because sin has been paid for once and for all in the person of Jesus Christ. So forgiveness is available for all. For all that will repent of their sin and believe the gospel, the death, burial and resurrection of Christ, and invite Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Caiaphas, in unbelief, because of his pride and because of his selfishness. Pride, selfishness, kept from him the ability to see truth. And maybe there's pride and selfishness within your heart this morning that's holding you back from receiving the truth of the Word of God. And that simple truth is this: we are all sinners. We need a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. He died on the cross and paid in full for our sin. He was buried and He rose again from the dead. That's the gospel. That's the means of salvation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And my friend, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We need forgiveness. Jesus Christ is the only hope. So God used the evil intent of Caiaphas to fulfill His perfect will. He prophesied, the Bible teaches us, concerning the death of Christ. But in his prophecy that God gave to him miraculously to proclaim, he missed the point. That the death of Christ had an ultimate purpose, which was to provide salvation for all mankind. And that all might come to Christ and receive Him as personal Savior. So God used the evil intent of Caiaphas to fulfill His perfect will. And my friend, can I encourage you this morning by saying, God can use the evil intent of men today, and God can still fulfill His will. The world's going mad. Would you agree? But God's still in control. And God can still bring some good. Don't allow pride and selfishness to hold you back from truth. The Bible teaches us, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, the children of God. And within Caiaphas, prophecy, he made reference to the gathering of the children of God from abroad, that people from all over the world will benefit through the death of Christ. And yet Caiaphas was absolutely oblivious to the truth. Why? Why? Pride and selfishness. And my friend this morning, please, don't allow pride and selfishness to hold you back from receiving His gift of eternal life. Please. Jesus Christ paid for your sins. He's done all the yards, the hard yards. You just need to humble yourself. And as a child, come to Christ and say, Jesus Christ, I admit that I'm a sinner and I believe that You died for me and You were buried and You rose again. I believe that You are the only answer to my sin. And now the best way I know how, I turn to You and I receive You as my Savior. Resting in You alone for my salvation. Resting in You alone for my forgiveness. Resting in You alone for eternal life. My friend, this morning, don't allow pride and selfishness to hold you back from receiving His gift of eternal life. And for those of us that are Christians, listen to me. I trust that this day, amongst all days, you'll be thankful, more so, for the blood that was shed, the body that was broken, to provide eternal life for you. Let's bow for prayer.